We've been doing a series on apostolic centers. This is going to be an aside in the midst of that series. We are going to be talking about apostolic centers, but this week I'm talking about walking in the world, but not of the world, as under the Lord. How many of you know we've got to live out there? We've got to function out there. But we don't have to let it get all over us. Right? Today I hope to bring some connection to where we've been. I may even allude back before we existed as a fellowship. And where we're going and why we do certain things as a body. We've had to go through some significant warfare in 2012, or the Hebraic year 5772, Ayin Beit. That year fully ended at Passover. If you remember the Hebraic, God's understanding of time Hebraically is that it's cyclical, and until we get to Passover, there's still that opportunity for us to get the things of the previous year. It's another extension of Father's infinite grace and mercy. So we've entered into the fullness of this new year at Passover 5773, 12 days ago. Last year in the Roman calendar, it was the year of 12. 12 is a number linked with new administration. And we saw new administrations coming all over the world. And yes, we got a new administration in the United States of America. And I'm going to shoot that rabbit before I go there. Yeah, I know. Hebraically, we just completed the cycle of 5772. 72 is linked with completing captivity and rebuilding the house. So we've just completed that time of captivity. How many of you are glad that you got some freedom in the past year? If you didn't, see someone and get some deliverance. It's a time of rebuilding our house. Yesterday they started tearing off the roof of our barn that got destroyed in the hurricane. I marveled as I saw 100+ years of roof coming off. Last year it was important for us to understand the house. See, the house is linked with the concept of adding sons and daughters to your structure, so that the inherent power of God is carried on in your lineage. Remember, we talked about the oikos and the ekklesia last year, about give me more sons, give me more children, give me more daughters, and then the ekklesia, we're going to rule and reign with God. The Lord God Almighty is a generational God, and He wants us adding naturally and spiritually to His kingdom. Last year was the year of the house and a year of returning to the house, and we began to see prodigals returning home. Lord, let that accelerate. All of us have prodigals that we're calling in, but we began to see them returning home last year. It was a year of establishing a house, and a lot of people either moved to new houses or remodeled their houses. It was a year in which each of us had to go back to our Bethel and prepare to cross over into our promised land. That was the significance of this past Passover, 5773. It was a time of crossing over, more important than any of the others that we've celebrated in the last decade. Last year in the year of the house, in a season of a new administration, we had to break out of conformity. Many people did, but many did not. A lot of people wanted the same old, and never got rid of the bondages of religious structures. The old ways will not be what the Holy Spirit moves in to direct us in this new season over the next 7 years. We will not see Holy Spirit repeating all of those religious things that we've liked and we've held on to. We've had to let some of them fly. Last year and still today, we are piercing through conformity and creating new models. Where we're going has not been done before. Can you say new models?
New models.
As we move forward, we have to allow Holy Spirit to define how he wants to use and establish his house in this region. God is changing the way church looks. This is really what each of us are doing in our walk. We have been pressing out of an old place and pressing into the new place. And in the next few weeks, we have to allow Holy Spirit to help establish us and refine each of our houses so that you look at where you are and where you've come from and where you're going to be going in the future. It's not going to look the same. It should not look the same if you're following Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit's going to show us new things. That's why this month of Iyar is particularly important, because we need to be pressing in to hear what Father is saying. Remember what was scattered in the last season? Some of you have come through a full year of scattering things that you should not have scattered. And after you've collected them and God's restored your emotions from past scattering, he will then unlock the blessings of the future. See, he's taking us to that place where even sometimes our souls were fragmented and fractured, and bringing them back to a place where we can hold the fullness of what he wants to do in revealing his glory. Do not forget that each month of the year, God has a Rosh Kodesh blessing for us. Every month, that's why we talk about the months. That is why we remember at the start of each month to practice first fruits. If you look at Rosh Kodesh in the Bible, you will find it. It's called the New Moon Festivals in most of our modern translations. Rosh Kodesh means that you are renewing the head. So you're renewing your head. You're renewing the headship of Christ in your lives. So you're thinking right and you can enter into blessings. So I've got to get my thinking aligned. Remember that repentance means change the way you think. Repent every day. There will always be something to change the way we think. See, this is not a new teaching. This has been God's way since he made covenant with man. Do you understand that? That every month, from month to month, God intended to bless you until blessings overtake you. How many of you have blessings overtaken you? They're overtaking you? Well, you come up here and preach. I mean, they're there and we're getting the blessings, but he wants to pour out more than we can handle. Someone said we need to lift our vision higher and we need to think bigger. Look at somebody and say, perhaps I need to jump into this. We're so excited. Eventually, blessings do overtake you. Say out loud, eventually, blessings overtake me. You know that one that was chasing you, you can turn and say, be gone. It wasn't a blessing that was chasing you in the last season. Blessings will overtake you. The Bible says that the sower will overtake the reaper. That's blessings generationally. That's blessings that, you know, that if the sower is sowing while the reaper is reaping, there's so much stuff. There's so much seed. We haven't gotten there yet. Rosh Kodesh is an important understanding for us as we move forward, because every year you will have the month of Av. It's usually in the late July, early August time frame. When we get to Av this year, I'll tell you how many times Av was on my birthday in the past 60 years. In the history of mankind, there is not another time that is more historical events in it than the month of Av. When we get to July this year, I'll try to remember to tell you as many of the mind-blowing historical events that took place worldwide in the first 9 days of Av. Last year, in the 2012 Summer Olympics, they were scheduled so that the opening ceremony was held on the 9th of Av. In 1972, the Summer Olympics started in September, when the Israeli team was massacred. God revealed to Chuck Pierce the hatred of the Antichrist structure toward God's covenant people. It's an amazing revelation during the Olympics. See, you are in that group now of God's covenant people. The Antichrist structure of the world hates us. When you confess Christ and you align with him, you are now aligned in an eternal way that threatens God's enemy. Tell the person next to you, you are a threat to the enemy. Do you know that you have all authority of heaven? Jesus said he had all the authority of heaven, and he said, what I have, I give to you. Do you have what Jesus gave to you? You've got all of the authority of heaven. If you need a scripture, look up Luke 10:19. He's giving you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing in any way shall harm you. That includes Satan himself. Av and the ninth of Av have been going on in history as long as we can remember that God made covenant with man, but every year is different, and that's why we celebrate first fruits. Every month is different. Every month God has a purpose and a plan. Every month God has something he wants to be working in us and working through us for his ultimate glory. People don't understand the power of first fruits. The next time I speak, I'm going to speak on the Apostolic Center in Rome. But did you know that the church in Rome taught first fruits? We see it in the book of Romans, that if we will bless and participate in first fruits, all the rest of our lump, our possession, will be blessed. So the next session will connect us to where we need to be. When you renew your head at every first fruits, you think the way God thinks. The head of every month, we get to renew our head and begin to think. So let's look at God's order for the church. God had an order that was important. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28, the Amplified reads, "So God appointed some in the church for his own use, first apostles, special messengers, second prophets, inspired preachers and expounders, third teachers, then wonder workers, then those with the ability to heal the sick, helpers, administrators, speakers in different unknown tongues." First apostles, second prophets, third teachers. This is not a hierarchy. It's not an order of priority. It's not an order of stature. It's not an order and rank like a military or business hierarchy. Your family works the same way. When you read about the family, the husband, the wife, and the children, you see a divine alignment, just like we see here for the church. See, the family is the first war unit that God intended for overcoming the enemy. He intended for Casey and I to war for our children and our children's children and their children for their future, that they would have greater anointing and greater fruit than we do. He did that for each and every family. That's the first war unit. If I will not war for my spouse, if I will not war for my children, then I probably won't war for you. And I spend my time in the morning in the dark warring for you after I war for them. Even though we see God's divine alignment in 1 Corinthians 12:28, let me show you how it actually works. Here's how revelation operates. Revelation comes first. First, God brings prophetic revelation down. That's why we have to worship. We have to worship to open the heavens over us. If the only time you worship is on the time you gather together, you probably aren't getting a lot of revelation. Let me tell you something. Before you go to bed tonight, worship. If you want revelation, if you want an open portal of heaven so that your dreams and your night visions are coming from God, worship him when you lay down. Worship him when you get up in the morning. Worship him when you go to lunch. Worship him throughout the day. Does that mean you have to sing? No. You can speak worship. You can tell him how great he is. You can tell him that he is the everlasting God, that his mercy endures forever. You can worship by rehearsing scripture to him. And you can sing, you can dance, you can clap, you can do whatever he tells you to do, and you better. The prophetic reveals the heart and the mind of God. You see, God is not into methods. Method and order are two different concepts. God will bring revelation down first through his prophetic gift in his people. You know, all of you can prophesy. Some of you went to the prophetic boot camp. All of you can prophesy. Everyone who has Christ in them can prophesy. Revelation says so, that the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus. So if you got the testimony of Jesus Christ in you, you can prophesy. You can speak the mind and the character of God. The Bible says that we prophesy according to our faith. Lord, give them more faith. Most of us let fear overtake us, so we don't prophesy. See, all of us are not prophets, but we can all prophesy. God brings prophetic revelation down to the earth. Then the apostle gift, which is a building warring gift, takes that revelation and begins to develop strategy. Then the teacher begins to set principles in place to that revelation so that that strategy can be worked out. This is what happens, and this is a danger for us. You see, this is a changing living model. That means that if I still stay over here and the Holy Spirit is changing and doing something new over there, guess what? I'm stuck in old religion. And the freshness of the revelation and the power and the presence of the Lord is moved over here. That's what's happened throughout history with every denomination. When they set their own rules in place and put God in a box, and he moved on, all of a sudden their box was empty. It is not the principles you get and can follow a checklist like in preschool. Well, now I lay me down to sleep, got that one. Lord, thank you for this food, got that one. He wants us to walk in revelation. You remember the week-long Bill Gothard seminars? Some of you are too young to remember the Bill Gothard seminars, where he laid out principles 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. They were all laid out. They were all great. They were incredible principles, but you have to take the principle and allow revelation from God to make it real for the moment that we're in order for those principles to be active in your life. See, that's why it's hard for people, because people like to take principles and develop methods out of them. I'm a scientist. That's what scientists do. Let's do it this way. Oh, now we can do it this way better. Oh, we can make more money at it by doing it this way. We improve our methods. The Greek word methodia is the word that's found in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11, that's translated as the wiles or schemes of the devil. The methodia, the methods, the wiles and the schemes of the devil. Therefore, if you are not allowing revelation to feed principle, you're going to develop a method and you're going to try and keep that method in place. I grew up in a denominational church. We had lots of methods. You could almost tell what each of the 52 weeks of the year was going to look like on Sunday morning in church based on the methods. See, that's how a religious spirit works. Religious spirits come in and hold the church in the last season's methods. And then all of a sudden, it doesn't matter how wonderful the principles were, you are captured by the last season's principle, and that creates legalism in you. And therefore, you can't move into what God is trying to do. I thank God for my deliverance. Now, teaching brings understanding. Many of you have heard or seen Robert Heidler. He's one of the few teachers who can take revelation that's coming forth as it's being revealed through the prophets and teach it in time to produce understanding. We had Robert here a few years ago, both Robert and Linda, to teach on intercession. Every time the apostle, the prophet, and the teacher, and these three functions align, you form a foundation. A foundation is what you stand on. A foundation is not what you're covered with. You stand on the foundation. In most local bodies, the weakest gift is prophet. That's not the case in this house. For Shepherd's Heart, the weakest gift is evangelist. We have a strong prophetic contingency in this body, and we have the apostolic gifting. We have the gift of teacher in the body, and I believe we're going to see that teacher gift go to a new level as we move forward. People who can unfold the Word of God and His revelation. The teaching gift that Robert Heidler operates in or beyond. I don't think he's the only one. There are several gifted teachers, but I believe we're going to see that teaching gift go beyond as we pursue the apostolic center in the region. When the apostle, prophet, and teacher work together, we develop a foundation for you to stand on. There are people who know that God is doing something here, and they come to visit, but they want to keep standing on their last foundation. That won't work. As we move forward, those people are going to be tossed to and fro. If God brought you here, He brought you to find your footing here. You know the old story about the guy with one foot on the dock and one foot on the boat? Well, He didn't ask you to keep your foot in the old camp if He asked you to come here. We're not doing the same old, same old. You can only find your footing through the revelation that is coming down from heaven and discovering how to get your feet on top of the foundation of the apostles, prophets, and teachers of this place. Once you have your footing firm on the foundation, you can then be sent out from here. That's the whole purpose, is to be sent out into the world every day, every week. Then you have to redevelop your footing wherever you go. You have to redevelop your footing if you're in the education mountain, in the schools, in the government mountain, in the halls of government, in the business mountain, in the places where you work, and so forth. See, this is how we walk in continual revelation and go from blessing to blessing to blessing. Now let's see how first fruits works. Every first fruit, new revelation is released from heaven. At the beginning of every month, there's new revelation released from heaven. We will never have the weekend of Adar 5773 again. We'll never have the week of Nisan or Aviv 5773 again. We'll never have a year, which is this Thursday at sunset, again. We'll not be in those moments again. The things that the Lord did helped us get to where we are, and what He's going to do will propel us to where He wants us to be. Next year at this time, there will be new revelation coming from the throne room. When you celebrate first fruits, you are receiving revelation in time. That's what Issachar did. He received revelation in time and understood and knew what to do. If we don't get revelation this month, you are standing on last year's revelation for the month. Look at someone and say, we've moved on from that. We're not getting ready to pass over. We have passed over. See, that's how cessation theology works. Cessation theology says that there is no such thing as the Spirit of God today. There are some churches that make you sign documents saying just that. If you want to join it, you have to say there is no such thing as the Spirit of God moving in the earth today. I don't know if I'd want to go to that church or not, but there are some that do. Now, what is happening in the midst of that is your foundation is never being reinforced to be relevant with time. In a cessationist church, They're saying that your revelation being relevant to April 6, 2013 isn't relevant. God did what he did, and the Spirit isn't moving today, according to the cessationists. Does that make sense to you? Good. Because it sure doesn't make sense to me. My God is active and alive. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today forever. And if the Spirit that raised him from the dead is in me, he's not hanging around doing yesterday's stuff. He's doing new stuff every day. Without us gaining prophetic revelation, without a vision, what happens to people? They perish. That is what first fruits is all about. First fruit is meant to keep the body celebrating in revelation. I love revelation. I had so many dreams last night. They were very active. I woke Casey up in one of them. I woke myself up in one of them. They were powerful dreams. See, when you give in to first fruits, there are no rules. There's no rules in first fruit giving. There's no outline in the Bible in first fruit giving. It just says to do it. It doesn't tell you how to give. You give your best so that the rest of whatever your lump is can be blessed. It's not a percentage. There's no formula. Scientists hate it. We can't figure it out. It's God, but God. Some of you know that one of the first things that the prophet said to us 27 years ago when they said to stay in New York, or 26 years ago, I guess it was 27. Golly, I'm getting old. Get over your human reasoning. That was a word for me. You give the best portion that you have that month so that the best revelation God has for you to overcome this month will come to you. God started revealing this to me in the summer of 1984. That's when Casey and I began First Fruits, almost 30 years ago. It'll be 29 years ago this summer. For years, I would read the proverb of the day. I would read it morning, noon, and night. There's 31, so most months I would read the Proverbs three times. Proverbs 3, 9, and 10 says, to honor the Lord with your capital and sufficiency from righteous labors and with the first fruits of all your income, so that your storage places will be filled with plenty and your vats will be overflowing with new wine. Every time we did that, whether it was produce from the garden because we had no money, whatever it was, the Lord multiplied it back. If there was a need and we had something to sow into people's lives, all of a sudden we'd come out of church and there would be bags of clothes for our kids. Don't know how God does these things. He just says, you honor me with the first and I'll bless the rest. Thank God for first fruits. It's what propels us forward. I hope the clarity of first fruits will help you get a better understanding of why we talk about Rosh Kodesh, the beginning of every month, why we talk about the importance of each month, because of all of those things that we talked about Ayir this evening to start the service. Those are the things that God wants to do to help us be more like him and propel us forward in the month ahead. The traditional church hates the concept of first fruits and this understanding. See, we have to understand Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob if we want to move into all the blessings that Father has for us in Christ. See, his promises for us came through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And if we don't understand what he did for them, then we won't understand what he wants to do for us. The Spirit of God is doing something in us because we're in a season of becoming one new man in a new way. Here is something else. We are developing our identity for the future. You are not who you were. You are becoming who he has created you to be. Have any of us arrived? If you have, you can come up here and take my place because I need some hints. At every conflicting crossroads season, do you remember the prophetic word that Apostle Neil Silverberg gave Casey and I read it to you last fall when we were at our son's ordination, that we are at this crossroads, a four-way stop sign, and that the Lord is asking us to check every direction before we move forward. Whenever you are at a conflicting season, like last year, it was July 27th. This year it'll be July 15th. That's when the ninth of Av starts. We'll talk about that when we get there. Av is a conflicting season. At every conflicting crossroads season, covenant and alignment become the keys to unlocking your future. That's why last year we talked so much about getting and making sure you were in right alignment to move forward in the future. Make sure that you were walking in covenant with those that you needed to be walking in covenant with. Watch what God did with you last year, and watch what he's going to do with you this year around the time we get to July 15th, the 9th of Av. Be watchful and see how he's meeting you. See, he has your best in mind. My best is not very good. His best is best. Ask him what is happening and pray for others. As you're seeking the Lord for where he's taking you, ask him what is happening and then begin to pray for those that are around you. Things you've been praying for, he's going to bring to an end, or he's going to open up a beginning for you. If you understand the principle of Rosh Kodesh and the head of every month, you begin to understand that he's constantly opening a way for us to move closer to him. The moment you wake up in the morning, ask for faith. Hebrews 11:6 tells us that without faith it is impossible to please God. How many days of the week have you pleased God? See, if you wake up every morning and say, Lord, give me faith today that I may be pleasing in your sight, that's a pretty powerful prayer. I think he's going to answer that one. You prophesy according to your faith. You minister out of your gifts according to your faith. Most people talk about repentance, but they don't really understand repentance because the goodness of God leads us to repentance. It leads us to change the way we think because he wants us to begin thinking more like him. When you do not operate in faith, you have to repent. No matter what you thought you have, if you do not have faith, you must repent. Bible says whatever is not of faith is sin. Repentance means you change your mind, you change the way you think. That is another reason that we do first fruits. You are renewing your mind, you're renewing your head at the start of every month. At every first fruits, you're realigning to the head of the body, Jesus Christ. You're saying, Lord, I want to think like you think. Remember this. There is a moment, everyone say moment. There's a moment to capture revelation that will shift your future. We see that throughout the book of Acts, especially in Acts chapters 12, 10, 11, and 12. Don't miss your moment. Tell the person next to you, don't miss your moment. Don't miss your moment. See, it could come in a dream. It could come in a vision. It could come through a donkey talking to you. God wants to communicate with you. Don't miss your moment. Let faith increase and receive a new anointing. The word of the Lord and the timing of the Lord bring the anointing of the Lord. It's the anointing that breaks the yoke. So when I receive revelation, if the Lord doesn't say, speak it now, it's not going to carry his anointing to break through. But the word of the Lord and the timing of the Lord bring the anointing of the Lord, and it's his anointing that brings the yoke. The anointing of God works with the blood of Christ and with glory and with faith rising up within you. If you have anything blocking faith rising in you, see one of the pastors and get some deliverance. If faith constantly has a cap on you, get that cap busted off. We have to get delivered and stay delivered. Jesus said that we are to occupy until he returns. I know a lot of people who got deliverance, checked it off their checklist, and figured that sanctification someone else was going to do. That's not occupying until he returns. Sanctification, as long as you have breath, you are being sanctified so that you can carry more of his glory. Here are a few important things for you to base all of this on. See, we're in a season of asking. So don't be afraid to ask. Number one, ask for your inheritance. Ask for your inheritance. We see this in Joshua chapter 15 and the book of 2 Samuel chapters 1 through 8. See, if you ask for your inheritance, ask for the next portion that you need. Do you have everything you need to get to the place God's destined you to be in? Ask for that which has been held up. When you get to your brook Cherith, remember Elijah, and it dries up, you're going to ask where you can get a drink. Some brooks are drying up. God wants us to move on to where his provision is. If something is drying up around you, ask where you're supposed to get and what you need to bring life to you. Nothing's impossible for God. If the ravens could feed Elijah, he can take care of us. Number two, take the stronghold that was never taken in the past season. Stop those things that have happened in every generation prior to you. Generation curses, generational iniquitous patterns don't have to take place in your life. The blood of Christ, the cross, stopped all that. But you've got to apply it. You did not procure that when you said, Jesus, please reign and rule in my life. Be Lord of all. You set yourself up to procure it. But until you apply the blood of the cross, the same as they applied the blood of the cross on the doorposts and on the lintels at Passover, until you apply the blood of the cross to that stronghold in your life, that stronghold has permission to stay there. The devil is a liar. And he will lie to you. You have to do something. You have to believe that Jesus came to set you free. Step up and say, by the blood of Jesus, the buck stops here. What grandma had isn't going to kill me. What grandpa had isn't going to kill me. I'm going to die someday if Jesus doesn't come back. But I'm not going to die by those curses. You know what? The Bible says that the righteous breathe their last. When God takes his spirit back, that's when our time is up. Not a moment before. So if I'm going to believe the curse structures from the past, I'm going to allow something to cut me short from the fullness of all that he's promised for me. Arthritis stops here. It stops at the past generation. It's not going to keep me from my destiny. Diabetes stops here at the cross. It's not going forward. You know, the blood of Christ, his DNA has renewed your DNA. Now, if you walked with me when I pray, you would see me pray what I just told you. I apply the blood of Christ to my family line. I stop those things that are coming through the generations. I stop them. And I begin to pray blessings over our children and our children's children. Say this, the same old thing is not taking me out this season. Doctors are good, but Dr. Jesus is better. His word trumps medical science. If I have faith to go to a doctor, I will go to the doctor, but I better have faith to do what the doctor tells me. A lot of us go to the doctor not really believing that the doctor's going to fix us. But we should go to Jesus first. Do you know that you all have authority to heal the sick, to cast out devils, to raise the dead? Do you believe that? Good, because Jesus said it, not me. All who believe in me will do these things. So why don't we pray and command those things to lose? Some of you need to say, I want a new war. Because some of you are fighting the same old war that grandma and great-grandma and great-great-grandma and great-great-great-grandma fought. Let me go up against a new war, Lord, and let me win. Wasn't that Joshua's attitude? Wasn't that David's attitude? Just because everyone in your bloodline was a harlot, see, that was David's problem. It started with his great-great-grandmother, Rahab. You see that in Matthew chapter 1, verse 5. Just because someone in your bloodline was a harlot, when David ended up acting like a harlot, God dealt with him. If you're acting like what your bloodline was, believe me, God will deal with you because he has something better in mind for you. I think Terry's wearing it. Jeremiah 29:11. Yeah. I have a future and a hope for you. It's a lot better than what grandma had. Or grandpa. Just because your whole bloodline was harlots doesn't mean you have to be a harlot. And you can apply that to anything in your bloodline. I tried to pick something that I didn't know anybody had. David had it, though, and he was the king. Now, when you take the strongholds that were not taken in the last season, you begin to walk in victory. You've got to go in and you've got to snatch out everything that was illegally taken from you. Number three, a mighty army is arising. We see that in Ezekiel chapter 37. Tell the person next to you, you're not too old to enlist in this. Now tell them you're not too young to enlist in this. There is no age limit in God's army. How old is the young man on the back row? 10? Do you know how old Josiah was when he became king? 8. There is no age limit in what God is doing. None of us is excluded from being in this army that is arising. We do not care who goes just as long as we win. I don't care if the 100-year-olds go and fight the battle or if the 10-year-olds go and fight the battle, as long as the church wins and presses forward. And believe me, we all got to go. In God, there is no gender. Everyone goes to war. In Israel, the women sign up just like the men sign up for military duty. There is a mighty army that's arising, and we are all finding our place. If you don't know what Ezekiel 37 was about, it was about the Valley of Dry Bones. And even the prophet wasn't so sure what God was doing when God said, "Can these bones live?" He said, "Lord, you know." See, most of us would see a graveyard. But what God saw was an army coming together. And he wants us to speak to it. We need to be speaking to this new army to arise and not being afraid that we're not going to have our part in it. Number four, there is growing opposition from the enemy against multiplication. God's promise is for us to multiply and increase. I'll give you some scriptures, but I'm not going to go into a lot of detail on it. Luke 11, 14 through 28, Matthew 12, 22 through 45, and Mark 3, 20 through 30, Jesus talks about the enemy trying to stop our multiplication. See, this mighty army is not going to bow down and come under the control that has been stopping us from having a harvest mentality. Father is always about harvest. Give me more children. Give me more family. We have to start thinking about harvest. We're going to dance on the threshing floor. You know, that's what they did at harvest time. Of course, course, now someone else does it for us. I grew up on a farm, so I sort of relate to harvest. I live in farm country, so I relate to harvest. But they danced on the threshing floor when they threshed the harvest. We're going to eat the harvest. We're going to enjoy the harvest. We're going to run in the harvest. We're going to rejoice in the harvest. And we're going to keep moving forward. Now, I want to end quickly with 8 dimensions of the war that we're going to face to move forward, not only in this season, but as we take the Apostolic Center to a reality. 1, there will be a war over a new form of worship that overturns the high places. We've done some high place worship warfare in the region over the past several years. Satan knows that if he can hold you in the same form of worship that you were in the last season, then he can keep you from breaking the old cycles in your life. A new song comes from the sound of heaven, and a new song always breaks your old cycles. Sing a new song. That's why we sing in the Spirit. If you don't have words, just start singing in tongues. If you don't speak in tongues, see us after the service and we'll lay hands on you. Better yet, ask God. Jesus said, whoever asks of him, he'll give it. He's the baptizer. 2, there will be a war over advancing occult structures, political and religious government. I had a chuckle when the communion message came out because that's what their system in Jesus' day was all about. The Pharisees and the Herodians. Here's another aspect of the war that we're in. With the level of technology and communication that's available today, we live in an occult society. Occult means hidden. There's so much technology today that we live in an occult society. And there are people out there trying to get everybody's information because information is power. Information will be the next great source of wealth. It already is generating wealth. If you don't believe me, look at Facebook. All your information was lost as soon as you put it on Facebook. You had no privacy anymore. But there are some Christians I know, I can't tell you what the name of it is yet, that are releasing some new technology that if you want your email to be erased in 5 minutes, the person who received it can't forward it, and it's erased off their receiver in 5 minutes. Pretty amazing technology. Ashes to ashes, dust to dust, electrons to electrons. That's how it worked in Jesus' day. I wonder how they got transported. See, they worked through the political government aligning with the scribes in Jesus' day. The Pharisees and the scribes operated in an occult power that aligned with the government. And that's the one thing that Jesus said to beware of. Remember when he had the disciples in the boat and he said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees? And they thought he was talking about, don't go to the bakery. He was talking about this system that we have to be aware of today. We are seeing this increase worldwide, and we must understand how the occult operates. 3, there will be a war confronting the diseases of Egypt. There will be a war confronting the diseases of Egypt. You find that in Exodus 15, Matthew 9, and Luke 10. Every disease in the earth comes out of Egyptian worship structures. Every disease. Don't have time to go into that. So stop trying to complicate disease. It all comes out of Egyptian worship. All Freemasonry comes out of Egyptian worship. All dragons come out of Egyptian worship. All of these structures. We'll have to sometime do a class on false religions. They all have to let go when you confront them. You know what? Most of us don't confront them. We're told just lay back, call for the elders. See, the whole scam with health care is nothing more than massive taxation law. All of this stuff with health care. There's less health care available now with what's happening. People are not having health available. treatments available, it's all about taxation. It has nothing to do with your health. But guess what? Dr. Jesus is much greater than anything the government will ever give you. It's the same thing that we left England 400 years ago to get from out from under. How many of you feel represented by the health care law? Taxation without representation? You're paying for it whether you believe it or not. Only now it's 10 times worse. If we do not learn to confront the diseases of Egypt, none of us will be able to afford to pay to be healed. We have to confront disease. Jesus said, "Those who are called by my name will do these things." We have to get past our present understanding, see the occult force behind the disease in its place, and then tell it to go, and then take up our bed and walk. Isn't that what Jesus demonstrated for us? He's my hero. If he did it, so should we. Tell somebody, "I see you walking forward." Number four, there will be a war against the move of God in the next generation. In every generation, there's always been an Absalom spirit versus generational maturity. There is a move of God that's happening in the next generation. We got a taste of it a little bit a couple weeks ago in our service here. We have to say, "Lord, please raise up a generation that will not try to break out to do their own thing or end up being worse off than they were before they ever started." Too many of our generations stopped short of what the Lord wanted us to do and built those little methodical structures that I talked about earlier. There's a war that's going to try and stop the next generation from moving on with the anointing that the Lord has for them. Number five, there will be a warfare with the mammon rule, with the evil eye that's watching over kingdom property. Poverty, legalism, unbelief, and mammon rule, they're all linked together. See, you're in a war for your next supply line. I know that vividly, personally. God is doing supernatural things to unlock your supply. You cannot stay at the same level of supply that you're currently at. God didn't say maintain. He said to occupy till he returns, but he said that we should go from blessing to blessing. We should increase. We should multiply. You want an example from the Bible? Look at Isaac. In the midst of a famine, he sowed, and that same year he reaped 100-fold. God's not a respecter of persons. Remember I said we have to move in the provisions and blessings God intended for Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? He hasn't changed his mind. He wants to bless us that same way. You have to get to the next level if you are going to take the spoils of the devil. Say, "I'm tired of him holding back my stuff." You know, the victor got to take the spoils. When God defeated the enemies of Israel, you can see it in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, he did all the work because they just worshiped him. "For he is good and his love endures forever." They just worshiped him. He slew with one angel, he slew 180,000 of the enemy. And they spent 3 days picking up the spoil. But the best is what happened in the rest of that chapter, and I'll let you read it to find out, because it was better than the spoil. It was revival. See, you have to learn how the evil eye works, the third eye. You have to say, "Wait a minute. You can watch all you want, but I'm going to blind your eye right now, and you're not going to see what I'm doing." There are watcher angels, and there are watcher demons. Most of us don't like to think about the other side. Worshiping God is excellent, but you need to learn how to confront the enemy so that you have money next week. God's practical. He wants you to have supply. Now, He could have said wheat. He could have said barley. He could have said grain. He could have said corn. But in our non-agrarian society, we need money. We are all in a war over this, and we are going to break through. We don't beg God for our money. It's His promise. We need to be so excited to bring our money into God that He can multiply it and bring us our breakthroughs. Number six, there will be a warfare with identification of disciples becoming apostles. There'll be a warfare with identification of disciples becoming apostles. A new movement without expression or footing. It's the war to identify your new positioning, alignment, and assignment. See, the disciples spent 3 years with Jesus. 3 years they were learning, but what did they become? Apostles. Special messengers. So we have some more years of training. Some of you have come here and may have said, God, this is not the place I would have chosen for you to put me. That's okay. I didn't choose this place either. I chose Northeast Tennessee. Seriously. When I moved from Texas, that's where Casey and I thought we were going to live the rest of our days. That's where all of our kids were born. They moved back. That's where all of our grandkids have been born to date. But He drew us back here, where I grew up, drew us back to Himself, then drew us back here. You have to be where you can be taught. God gives you pastors after His own heart. He knows who He is supposed to entrust you to. God knows what you need to know and what you need to learn and who needs to help you learn it. So let's be hungry for what Father wants Holy Spirit to teach us. You have to know who your teachers are. You have to know the assignment that you've been given in this month to learn. Every month He's got an assignment for us. No, I will never be out of school. Yes, I got too many degrees, but I'll never be out of the school of the Spirit. You have to learn the things that will get you through the narrow place and into the broad place of enlargement and promise. It is a war because it's going to be hard to get your footing sometimes. It's going to be hard to know what to do and how to do it. So we're going to have to trust God. Number seven, there is a warfare over the alignment of the generations. Not just the young generation that's coming up. That's just one aspect of the warfare. There is a warfare over us aligning. For example, Peter Wagner, 82 years old. Me, 60 years old. My son, Bill, 33 years old. My grandson, Philip, 8 weeks old. Or Ron Fess, Chris Vogt, Mike Vogt, and his son yet to be born. There's a warfare over those generations aligning because they know that when the generations align, there is purpose and power. Go back and study how many generations were alive before the flood. At least 11. You can align rightly. They didn't. Hence the flood. See, that's the way it is biblically. God wants the generations to align. That's why Jacob was so devastated when he was told that Joseph was dead. He had aligned with Joseph to see his promise for the future through his son Joseph. He wasn't devastated just at the death of his son. It was at the destiny of his life. Number eight, there is a war over being in the world, but not of the world, the topic of tonight's message. See, the world is tough, and your flesh is drawn to so much of the world. Therefore, your flesh becomes like a burr. I had a little tiny sliver in my knuckle yesterday. That hurt. Your flesh wants to align with the world, and you have to know that you are not of the world. Your flesh is going to say, oh, but it's so comfortable, said the frog in the warm pan of water. See, here is the war. We are being sent out into the harvest realm. Every week you're sent out to harvest, to sow seed, to nurture, and to harvest. We need to understand that when we are led by the Lord, we can go in lots of places as long as you are carrying His presence. Have you ever had someone say, there's a presence about you? I was ministering to someone in Texas last week, and he just stood back and he said, what is that? He said, every time I get near you, I feel like, I'm not going to tell you his story, but I said, basically, it's a father and a general anointing. He needed both. See, your presence, when you carry the presence of the Lord with you, the world you step into can't get on you. As soon as the anointing leaves, you need to walk out of that dark place you're in. See, you need to know the presence of the Lord. If He calls you into bars, I believe Christian musicians should be playing in bars. They should be releasing the sounds of heaven and Christian music cleverly disguised as whatever it's called. It's not rock and roll. It's not jazz. Whatever it's called nowadays. So that the sound of heaven is breaking into that place. But as soon as that anointing lifts, they need to get out of there. Because you know, the devil's not afraid of you. He's afraid of Christ in you, the hope of glory. Understand, this is about being in the world but not of the world. You cannot be secluded in a way that you are always protected from world influences. There are demon forces out there. You can say, I'm not sure I believe in demons. Well, I got news for you. Even our president acknowledged last summer, relative to the movie theater shooting in Colorado, this is his quote, those are demon forces that would do that. We knew that. See, you have to understand that there are dark forces that are developing strategies to try and keep you from your destiny. Here's the war. You can go any place God sends you, but you need to know His presence. Remember I said that the anointing and the timing, the word of the Lord and the anointing of the Lord, the timing of the Lord bring the anointing of the Lord. The word and the timing bring the anointing. If I don't have His anointing with me in that dark place, I should get out of that dark place until His anointing says go. He may have told me to go there. But if I don't go there in His presence, I cannot be effective there. Finally, there are going to be new baptisms of power that come into us. We see that from Matthew 3 all the way through Acts 19. We should be asking the Lord to baptize us in power, to baptize us in fire. Be in the world, but not of the world. See, a lot of people are not going to understand this principle. This is going to be one of the biggest shifts that the body of Christ is going to go through, and it's happening right now. That's why the church is changing. We're seeing churches meet in places. There are some bars that aren't open on Sunday mornings, so they're letting Christians take over their bar on Sunday morning. And people who were drinking on Saturday night are coming to the bar on Sunday morning. The Chinese church, one of the ways that they get people to come in is they talk about their business partner and they throw a big dinner with cigars and drinks and wine and all these things that we say that can't be God. But at the end, the leader stands up and says, this is my business partner. These are the strategies he gives me. Would you like my business partner to help you in your business? Yes. His name is Jesus, and he gives me strategies. And then they get planted. They get discipled. Oh, by the way, there are almost as many Christians in China as there are people in the United States. Who are we to say what Holy Spirit is doing and what he's not? See, as we said a few weeks ago, the harvest and the people he are bringing in, he's bringing in to change us so that we'll be more effective at doing the work with them in the future. We need to worship as unto the Lord. That's how revelation comes in our lives. Not worshiping to present a sound to the people. See, if you're just worshiping so that it sounds good and people around you feel good, that's idolatry. We are headed into some intense times of warfare. One of your weapons of warfare is worship. We are going to worship in this house as unto the Lord. It won't sound the same all the time. Starting right now, everything your hand is put to, you need to do it heartily as unto the Lord. If the Lord calls you to go someplace that's dark, and some of the darkest places are our halls of government, worship. Carry his presence in there. You know, he may just call you to worship there. He's called us to walk through school hallways and do nothing but worship. He called me to walk around a demonic structure in China and do nothing but speak his name. Not bind anything, not try to do anything other than declare the name of Jesus and say he is Lord. It was the top of the summer garden. There's a summer palace. It was built by martyred Christians for the queen. And at the top of it, there's a Buddhist temple with a 30-foot-high female Buddha inside of it. He told me to walk around it. I did it the first time with my Chinese interpreter, who was half my age. It was large enough that he got tired one trip around. There's only one way up and one way down unless you're one of the monks. And everyone that came up would start to pay homage to this thing. It was ugly. I thought I was supposed to do it once. As I was going around it the first time, he said, go around it again. Now my interpreter's sitting down on the steps. And I went around it again. And when I got to where the people were doing homage to this thing, they fell back. Are you carrying the presence of the Lord? And then he said, go around it again and again. The sixth time I ran around it, a stench started coming out from it. All I was doing was saying, Jesus is Lord, Jesus is Lord, Jesus is Lord, because that's all he told me to do. I went around it a seventh time. And now the people just stopped. I went around it an eighth time because that's what he told me to do. Then I went and got my interpreter. And he said, how many times did you go around that thing? And I said, eight. And I've been witnessing to this young guy about what things mean in Scripture, because he would tell me how old everything is and that this has nine of these and so many of these. And so I would just tell him what those numbers meant from Scripture, and that there was something much older than their 4,000-year-old culture. He said, well, why did you go around it eight times? And I said, because it's a number of new beginning. Are you ready for a new beginning? Let's stand to your feet. Lord, we thank you that you are taking us to a place where we have not been. And Lord, I ask that you would remove every one of the blinders that have been rearview mirrors and caused us to look for you in the past rather than to look for where you are taking us today. Lord, I ask that you would increase faith in my brothers and sisters, that faith would arise within them and that they would have all that is necessary for them to break through, to multiply and increase for your glory. Lord, I ask that even tonight as they lay down, you would give them dreams and night visions of what it is that you're doing in their lives. Lord, I thank you that as you take us forward, you are equipping us with everything we need to prosper for your kingdom glory. Lord, we ask that you would make us to be harvesters and that you would put us in the place where we will gather in those that you have ordained for us to gather. Lord, we thank you and we praise you that you know the end of this matter. Lord, we say, let your kingdom come. Display your glory through your sons and daughters. Lord, we say, make Israel jealous that she will desire Yeshua and that one new man will rise up and worship you. Lord, we say, let the prophecies of the old covenant come to pass where the sons of Abraham, Isaac, and Ishmael come together to worship you and declare that Yeshua HaMashiach is the Lord of all. Lord, give us revelation of where you're taking us and show us how you would have us to build, that your name would be glorified in all that we do. Amen. There are snacks next door, and I'm sure I've forgotten something, but I love you all. Have a blessed week.